You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And your girl man save her. Better believe it, get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. Wanna turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Yo, Yanasi. That means hello, bison, or hello, buffalo. And that's the perfect greeting because we have a terrific guest with us today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm pleased to welcome our guest to share some very special, special creatures with us. Would you please introduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Hi there, this is Carrie Starr. I'm calling from Cherokee Valley Bison Ranch, located in Thornville, Ohio.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you.
We will always think of our field trip to your ranch as one of our favorite fun things we have gotten to do. We thoroughly enjoyed meeting your bison and your hospitality and seeing so many wonderful things in your shop. And we had a great time, and we thank you for that.
Well, I'm so glad you came to visit us.
We loved it. So for starters, could you just please tell us where your ranch is, how other folks might be able to connect with you? I want to make sure that all the people who are going to be very excited about this have a chance to know that.
Okay, so we are in Thornville, Ohio, which is about 45 minutes east of Columbus, Ohio. We're about 5 minutes south of I-70.
Perfect. Do you have social media or any way we can follow your bison adventures?
Yes, we sure do. We have a Facebook page called Cherokee Valley Bison Ranch, and you can see videos of all of our fun bison. I just posted a photo this morning or a video this morning of Kahuna trying to play with the hay bale. So
that's great. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you know, we happen to be up that way from my home, which is the Quala Boundary Reservation. And the first thing, I was so excited to see that the bison ranch was there and that we could actually go and visit it while we were in town. And the bison were so much fun to see. I mean, they were not just little dots out there somewhere, but we actually got to come and see them drinking water, running, walking around. But the most important thing I thought was they seem really happy. They seem really content. Do the bison like the ranch?
Well, I sure think they do.
Yeah, I do too.
We try to give them a great life. You know, they've got plenty of friends, and they get their food delivered. They're not trying to, you know, they don't have to go and hunt for their food, so they're pretty spoiled as far as that goes.
Yeah, they do have a wonderful life. Well, I would love to know the story behind Cherokee Valley Bison Ranch.
Okay. Well, let's see. So our farm is on what was originally my grandmother's farm.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother had the ultimate plan for her kids to never move away. So when they purchased this farm, she knew exactly how many acres she needed to have to be able to divide it up among all of her kids equally. So back in the 90s, she essentially signed it over to all of her kids. Most of the kids got 25 acres. My uncle did get a little bit more because I guess he did more work on the farm. So so she said she gave the gift early because she wanted to see her kids and her grandkids enjoy the gift.
Uh-huh.
So I moved out here back to the farm, which that's what we always called it when I was growing up, was the farm. my grandparents did harness racing, and so I helped bale hay on the farm and all that kind of fun stuff. Anyway, I never imagined I would live back here, but I got divorced in 2001, and I moved home. And I told my mom that I wanted to put my house on her land, and she said that was fine as long as there was a spot for her if there ever need be. So when I moved here, I wasn't really thinking of raising bison. I had thought maybe we would get some goats and chickens, but in 2005, I went to Ted's Montana Grill, which is here in Columbus, Ohio. And they have bison on the menu, and I had never tried bison before, which I find extremely crazy. I spent my life going to my youth going to powwows, things like that, and they always had bison tacos and bison burgers, but I was just never brave enough. So I tried bison prime rib, and it was love at first bite. So at that point, I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to be able to eat bison all the time. And then I was like, I live in the middle of a farm. I could raise bison.
Sure.
And, of course, I never thought it would happen. But then I met my husband, and I told him my idea. And he's like, you know those are wild animals, right? And I said, yeah. So what's your point? You know? So we started dreaming about raising bison together, and we had thought we would, like, get a small herd, you know, like start with some calves or something like that, and then kind of build up a herd. Well, in early 2008, we were reading our local newspaper, and there was an ad for a herd of bison for sale.
Wow.
Now, that's not something you expect to see in the newspaper, but we thought, oh, this is our opportunity. We can go and meet these bison and kind of pick the guy's brain and see, you know, why he wanted to raise bison and basically how he'd been doing it all those years. And so we went up to just look at the herd and ended up buying herd bison.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. It was obviously meant to be.
It surely was. He had this beautiful bull, and his name was Charlie. And so while we were there asking questions, he was looking to sell his farm, so he was getting out of the bison business. So we were asking questions, and he said, well, you know, if nobody buys the herd, they're going to all have to go to the processor. And we were like, no, you can't send Charlie to the processor.
Right,
he's the spark and glorious. so we went back the next day with a check and bought a herd of bison. Now, the downside, or the trick to that was we did not have a fence. We did not have any fences. We didn't have
goodness.
A truck. So we were basically in the middle of a field, and we bought a herd of bison. So he agreed to keep the herd at his place until either he sold it or we got our fences built. So we came home and didn't sleep for a few days because we were like, oh my gosh, what have we done? we just bought bison. We don't know anything about bison. Neither my husband or I had any really previous livestock experience. So we're kind of coming into it green as you could be. So we came home and we bought a truck and we bought fencing materials and we learned how to build fence. And within 6 weeks, we had a herd of bison in our backyard. And I guess the rest is history, so they say.
This is the best movie that needs to be made. This is just great. I mean, you fall in love with Charlie and you save the whole herd. Except you don't have a place to put them, and then you do, and now here we are, and this is a wonderful story. So,
thank you.
It is great. Okay, so what surprised you the most? I mean, you didn't go into this thing, we will now have a bison herd. The bison herd found you, it seems like. And so, what surprised you? Like, what was unexpected about beginning this bison journey now that the bison are here?
how quiet they are.
Yeah.
You know, they don't make a lot of noise. And they're so personable. Like, they have so much personality. You can just watch them and you can kind of tell who's who by the things they do. They're kind of ornery. They're kind of playful. And they just have a lot of spirit. And I really love that. They're, you know, like when it snows, you look out the back and the snow doesn't even melt off of them until the sun comes out because they're so well insulated. These are just such hardy, durable animals. You know, they're like, they're survivors. I think that's what I love the most about them is that, you know, they've overcome so many hardships and they're still here.
Yes, wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. So could we talk about bison? We have friends who listen in 160 countries, all 50 states, and some of these countries, they may have only seen a picture of a bison or may not even know about bison. So could you share with us about bison, the animal themselves, please?
Sure. So bison, like cattle, have a similar, you know, naming nomenclature. So bulls are the boys and cows are the girls. And bulls top out around 2,000 pounds. So our big kahuna, he weighs well over 2,000 pounds. And he stands about 6 foot tall at his hump. So bison have that big hump right in the middle of their body. And people always are like, what's in that hump? What is that hump for? And so other bison who aren't as spoiled as our bison that get their meals delivered to them, like the ones that still live wild in Yellowstone, they have to forage for their food. And so that big head and that hump, the muscles are attached to that hump that allow that head to sweep away snow. So they're like a big bulldozer. They use that head to sweep away snow and get down to that grass that's underneath. And so that's how they are able to eat in the wintertime.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what the hump is all about. And then, so they grow in this magnificent coat. So right now ours are like kind of midway through that growing in process. So they've got like a fine wool that grows in, and then they've got thick guard hairs that grow in through that. And so that coat provides warmth down to minus 40 degrees. So the bison love winter, which is why that snow doesn't melt when it snows. So so they're very well insulated, and they put all of their fat on the outside of their body. So that adds an additional layer of insulation. So our bison are super happy when it's winter. Me, not so much, but they love the winter.
Well, they're built for it, it sounds like.
They surely are. And so they can run 30 miles an hour, 30 to 40 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, super fast. And they can turn on a dime. And they can run for very long distances. So in the wild, you know, they would have run for miles and miles running away from potential predators and things like that. So if you look at a bison's windpipe versus a cow's windpipe, it's probably 3 inches in diameter. And so that allows them to draw in just tons of air to like cool them down and get that oxygen to them so that they can run for long distances. So they're pretty amazing in that regard as well. And then let's see here, the moms are pregnant for 9 months and they're seasonal breeders. And what that means, so like if you think of white-tailed deer, how deer kind of have a season where they make babies for the next season, bison are the same way. So, around July and August is when they're making the next year's calf crop. And so we have babies that are born usually in April and May. And so the reasoning or the, I guess, wildness behind that is in the spring, the moms are lean. So bison naturally lose weight over the wintertime. They have a gland in their brain, the pineal gland, that tells them to slow down their metabolism because typically in the wintertime, food is more scarce. again, not with our herd because they're spoiled, but in the wild, they wouldn't, forage wouldn't be as available. So they kind of slow their metabolism down and they just lose weight over the winter time. Mm-hmm. And so the moms come through the winter, and in the spring, when it's time for the calves to be born, she's slim and trim. And the calves, you know, they don't overeat. So the calves are small. And so the moms are just able to have babies, and we do not have to intervene whatsoever. So that's a great thing, from a management standpoint, and mm-hmm. for animals in the wild too, because those calves are going to have the best chance at growing to adulthood. Mm-hmm. And then the spring, the grass is lush and green, and so the moms have rich milk from having all that grass that's available to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a calf is born, it's 40 to 50 pounds usually, depending on sex. Like, the girls are a little bit smaller than the bulls. So yeah, they're small. And you think of the big kahuna, who's about 2,000 pounds, and to think of him starting his life as only 40 or 50 pounds is kind of amazing.
Yes.
Let's see here. So bison are ruminants, and what that means is they have a four-chambered stomach, so a lot like cattle. Mm-hmm. Most people are familiar with cattle. They graze, and then they swallow that food down into their one of their chambers, and then later when they're laying down, it might look to you like they're chewing bubble gum or something like that, but they're actually chewing their cud. So they cough that up and chew that grass again. So it's kind of like they're going to the grocery store and putting all their food in their basket, and then later when they have time, then they cough that back up. Luckily, we don't have to do that, but the bison cough that back up and chew it, and then it goes down into the rest of their digestive system. So, yeah, that's how their eating works. And so our bison eat grass, and in the wintertime they eat hay, but in the wild they would just eat grass year-round. So they are designed for eating grass. They have teeth that are perfect for ripping off the grass in the front, and then in the back is those big molars that kind of grind that up and then send that down into their digestive tract. I'm trying to think what I might be forgetting about bison.
You're really knowledgeable about bison, and I would love, we have homeschoolers, we have schools and classes that listen to this podcast too, and I know they're going to be really excited about finding out more about bison. And so I'm going to ask the question that I've always wanted to know. Why do you, bison are delicious. Why are they so good for us?
So I mentioned earlier that they put all that fat on the outside of their body.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're very lean. So when you harvest a bison and you look at, say, a cut of steak, there's no fat through the meat. So it's all just pure protein. And so bison are higher in protein than other meat sources.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason why it's good for you. So it's low in fat. So it's good for your heart. It's high in protein, so it's very satiating. So you can eat less bison and feel full longer.
Mm-hmm.
There you have omega-3s. Our bison, which are grass-fed, have high levels of omega-3s, and so that's really good for you. They're just, I guess that's just how they're built. They're just built to be good for people.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yes.
Bison is one of the only meats recommended by the American Heart Association because of how lean it is and how healthy it is.
Wow. Nature's perfect food, almost, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think about it, and they haven't been domesticated all that long in the scope of our time here on Earth, just a couple hundred years.
Mm.
And so they're still really... really in touch with those wild instincts and things that make them so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Right. They really are. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about their deliciousness especially now that I like them so much and I think of them as sort of friends, you know, like I love to see them and watch them, and we've been learning about them in our homeschool, and we really like the mighty, mighty bison, as we say around here. And so mm-hmm. I will just remind us all that in our culture, our tribal culture, the bison volunteered to help humanity. We believe that
Absolutely.
They actually created a giveaway, you know, when all the animals were looking at how pitiful mankind was or humankind was, and the bison said, okay, we'll help them. We'll give ourselves to people and help them.
Yes.
And so that always brings me a lot of comfort. So what can we all have had bison burgers, and of course you mentioned the bison tacos at the powwow, which are delicious, but then I heard prime rib. What, you know, I think a lot of people may be surprised to find out how versatile bison is, not just burgers, right? So what are some of the
foods
that can be made? What can be made bison recipes?
So, you know, basically any cut that you have on a beef cow, you would have on a bison. So, like, you could do the brisket, which is really good at, like, for low and slow. People love to smoke a brisket, which is good for, like, shredded beef sandwiches or shredded bison sandwiches. So, ribeyes, that's my favorite cut of steak, which is just great to, you know, slice up and have with a nice salad or some green or some other vegetables. Also roasts, which are really good for low and slow cooking. So like a nice bison stew, meatloaf, which that's a ground product. But just various cuts of steaks that are amazing on their own or in a recipe. Like bison tongue is to die for.
Really?
That's my husband's favorite meal. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we cook it in the Instant Pot for, I like 5 minutes per pound, I want to say. And then that pressure really helps. So the tongue has a skin over it that you have to peel off before you can eat it. But it's very similar in texture to like roast beef or roast bison. But it's so delicious. It's got a really rich flavor. And so bison tongue tacos is my husband's favorite meal.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And then let's see, the heart is, I'm not a big fan of the heart. There are people who love to eat the heart, and they fix it like a beef and noodles type recipe. Mm. They'll layer it in the crock pot and cook it real slow. Mm. It's kind of got a roast taste and a liver type texture. And maybe I just didn't prepare it right, but I've never been a big fan of bison heart, but we have customers that love it.
And where can folks get your bison? Like, if people wanted to try bison, because we did try your bison. We had it for a special Sunday dinner. And I mean, I've had bison from tribal herds. I've had bison from the grocery store. I've had bison at powwow, many places. And yet yours was absolutely outstanding. So fresh and delicious and tasty. We enjoyed it thoroughly. So how could folks try your bison?
So they can come here to our farm. We are open on Saturdays from 11 to 3. So we have a little store here. And when people are here, they can also check out the herd. So they can meet all of our bison family.
Mm-hmm.
We sell at City Folk Farm Shop in Columbus.
Oh,
we sell at Whitaker's Natural Market in Fredericktown. We sell at Brandstool Orchard, which they're getting ready to close for the season. But they carry our stuff. And then there's a place in Athens called Kindred Market that carries our bison. And
wonderful.
I think that's it for right now. Yeah. Oh, and then if you wanted to get a bison burger cooked for you, there's a restaurant here locally that sells our bison on their menu, Strong & Co. in Somerset, Ohio.
Hmm. That's nice.
And then, in the summer, the Native American Indian Center in Columbus, Ohio, codenamed NACO, they have a food truck. And they have our bison burgers on their menu as well.
Oh, that's exciting. Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. I'm sort of leaning toward a bison prime rib for Christmas. That sounds really good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've been trying to do that every year. Have a prime rib for Christmas, so.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That is terrific. And so are there bison conferences, bison, I don't know, associations where other bison ranchers connect with you?
Absolutely. So we have the National Bison Association, which kind of takes care of the whole country. And I'm on the board for the National Bison Association. I'm the Region 7 director, which kind of covers Ohio, Pennsylvania,
oh, wow.
New York, and up north to Maine. And so we hold one big winter conference every year in Denver, which is coming up in January. And then they do several regional conferences. So they kind of move around the country and try to have an event at a bison ranch in different parts of the country in the summer months.
Oh,
which is really exciting.
Yeah.
It is. And then there are regional associations. So I think there's 12 regional associations. And so the Eastern Bison Association, which I'm the president of, covers the East Coast, basically Indiana over to the East Coast and clear down into Florida. And it covers Tennessee and all of those places. And so we have two conferences a year as well. So we have a winter conference in March that is held at in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania currently. And then our fall conference is similar to like what the National Bison Association does, where they move around to different ranches. And so, it's, you know, we kind of come together, we network, make connections. So like, for instance, this year we had a horrible drought at our farm. But we have friends because we attend these events and things like that in other parts of the country that were not affected by the drought. So they have plenty of hay. So it's nice to be able to call up a bison friend and say, hey, can I buy some hay from you or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, a friend of ours that was in the bison business had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sorry.
He ultimately passed away. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of left his wife, and she wasn't really, you know, the bison wasn't her thing, you know, that was his thing. And so she decided to liquidate the herd. And a handful of ranchers from around the state kind of came together. They brought panels and things like that, and we worked all the animals and helped get that herd sold off. And we actually purchased a couple of animals from his sale. But I think that the bison community is just such a wonderful community because, you know, people just come together, they share, you know, like if they see you're having a hard time, they help you out. Just all of those things, all of the best things.
Yes, all the best things. That's wonderful. We are officially bison people now. We're big fans
wonderful.
Of bison now that we have, spent some time with them. And so I wonder this, though. They are wild animals, of course, and now they're living in a little bit more domestic situation. But do you ever consider them or do they ever behave like friends or pets at all?
So, you know, they know me. Because I bring them food, but I think, you know, like, and I hate to think too much about how friendly they are. I'll just say they're used to us. But like a couple years ago, we had to harvest our herd bull, and it was really sad, and it had been weighing on me for, I don't know, a couple of months, because I knew that the time was coming, that it was time for him to leave us. Mm-hmm. And the day that we were supposed to load him up to take him to his final destination, we were worried, like, how are we going to separate him out from the herd, and how are we going to get him into the trailer, because he's big, and he actually presented himself, like he separated himself from the herd and came up, and I came out. No, he didn't get away.
The giveaway.
Yes, exactly.
The giveaway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah, it was like he gave himself to me.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know, it kind of gave me chills.
Yeah.
Kind of still does.
But
yeah, he just like separated himself from the herd, and it was a very peaceful thing, getting him loaded up and taking him. So, you know, it still broke my heart.
Sure.
But I feel like, he knew that, it was time, and he gave himself.
And that is the important part of the cultural aspect. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after commercial. But, you know, when I say the old story, the giveaway that the bison chose us and volunteered to give themselves to us so that we could eat and be warm and have shelter and all of that, weapons, jewelry, all of the things that they do for us. That is a great example. I mean, I have chills right now just thinking of that. It really was a giveaway. He gave himself.
Yeah.
And that is a wonderful story and a beautiful, beautiful reason to really appreciate these majestic animals. When we come back from commercial, we'll talk much more about this. It's just wonderful. I mean, I'm enjoying this conversation so much, and we'll have more of it.
Thank you.
When we'll be right back.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcast for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
For information on everything, from passports to driver's licenses to local weather, go to firstgov.gov. firstgov.gov, the official source for federal, state, and local government information.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more families learn how to budget and save.
I want my neighbors to have access to health care.
Help create opportunities for everyone in your community. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dogfighting in America. I'm Wayne Pacelli, president of the Humane Society of the United States. Help us stop this cruelty by putting dogfighting out of business. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
Well, I am enjoying this conversation so thoroughly, and it's because our guest is here today with us to talk about a very special animal. Would you please reintroduce yourself again to us?
Hi there, this is Carrie Starr from Cherokee Valley Bison Ranch in Thornville, Ohio.
I'm so glad you're here, and I think it's wonderful that you are here and you're sharing so much with us. I would love to know, you know, how does your tribal heritage connect with your ranch, with the bison, and the things you're doing?
Well, my grandmother was very active in the Native community here in Ohio. And so I grew up knowing, you know, that I was part of the Cherokee tribe. Unfortunately, we've lived here in Ohio, so we weren't able to be part of what you have down on the Qualla boundary. But we went to powwows and things like that. And there weren't a lot of Cherokee people at the powwows that we went to, but it was still spiritually moving to me to be around Native people and participate in like the powwow dances and things like that. And I remember one time I was able to participate in a storytelling gathering inside of a teepee at one of the powwows. And that just really like spoke to me. But, you know, so that's how I grew up knowing I was Native. And and not necessarily being part of any kind of spiritual tribal things, but and it kind of left a mark on me, like with nature. So, you know, on our farm, I think the bison are just perfect for that sort of a lifestyle where, you know, we allow nature to live on our farm in addition to our bison. So rather than like our neighbors that farm, you know, they're basically mowing down all the trees and they cut every weed to the ground. And, whereas on our farm, we provide habitat not only for our bison, but we have hawks that fly around because we provide excellent habitat for them and food sources because we have shrubs and we have things like that for smaller birds and for smaller animals. So there's food for those animals. There's food for foxes. There's food for raccoons. There's, you know, basically all of the little critters to live and thrive here on our farm. And we have wildflowers and just all kinds of plants that are, you know, could be used as medicine as well. And so I think that my heritage kind of makes me live that way. Like before it was the movement, you know, it's kind of cool. Everybody wants to kind of do that. But, you know, that was kind of ingrained in me as a child. You know, my grandmother always sort of lived that way as well. Like we had a blizzard in 1978 that wiped out like lots of small animals. They froze to death. And so she didn't allow anyone to hunt on her land for years after that, just to allow those populations to kind of bounce back. And she never allowed anyone to spray like chemicals or anything on the farm. And so we continue that. And now that I'm older, I kind of understand why, because, you know, you destroy the smallest little part of the community and everyone upstream kind of suffers.
This is so helpful too, because, you know, we're talking about the environment a lot these days and climate. You mentioned a drought at one point. And so what do you think about the place of bison in a healthy environment?
Well, they, so if you think of, for instance, the Great Plains, when they were roaming across the plains, you know, they would eat the grasses, which, you know, would cause the grasses to keep growing. They would disturb the soil and allow the seeds from the grasses to fall back down. So reseeding the pasture, the plains, and, you know, when you eat, you have stuff coming out the back end. So they were fertilizing. And they, bison do this crazy thing called a wallow. And so they roll, they lay down and they roll in the dirt and they kind of flop back and forth. That big hump prevents them from rolling over, but and they're kind of habitual. So they go to that wallow, and so the dirt kind of helps keep flies and stuff off of them. And they kind of, it's kind of like a mating thing too. They urinate on themselves and put on cologne, to speak. They're kind of gross.
Oh, that's
but,
great.
You know.
They're irresistible.
So that they are. Apparently the cows dig it. But anyway, so they create these, they all go to the same wallow. So that's part of the thing. So, you know, one will go over and they'll mark that wallow, so to speak. Well, then the next guy comes over and then they wallow in that same spot. And so over time, it leaves a big indentation. And so in the spring, when we're getting lots of rain, those wallows fill up with water. And little amphibians and things like that lay their eggs in there. And so little frogs and things have a place to reproduce. Migrating birds can utilize those wallows that are filled with water for drinks as they're flying over. They stop. It's like a, you know, like when we stop at Starbucks when we're on a road trip, you know, they can do that. We have several nests here that are filled with bison fiber. So in the spring, they shed those fabulous coats that are good down to minus 40 degrees. And so there's ice and fluff everywhere on the farm. And so the birds tuck that into their nests. So they've got warm, soft nests for hatching out little babies. So just lots of things like that. But bison are, we call them a keystone species for that reason.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it. And, you know, I really enjoyed seeing those nests. It was so, I don't know how everything is interconnected and interlinked, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's a beautiful thing to think about. When you think about the future of bison just as a species, what do you see?
Well, I see the herds will continue to grow because, you know, people value bison. It's delicious.
yes.
People want to raise, you know, and honestly, if you don't have value, you don't keep going, right? So
right.
One of the sayings we have in the bison world is eat bison to restore bison.
Oh, so wow. Okay.
Because bison are valuable as a food source, more and more people want to raise bison. And it's a more expensive protein. You know, we charge $13 a pound for our ground. So that's attractive in the farming world. So the more people that raise bison, the more bison there is. And bison is a very healthy food. So I see that the bison will continue to expand in this country. And the herds will continue to grow because they have a large value.
Mm-hmm. And what is your hopes and dreams for the future of your ranch?
Well, I would love to see more bison on our ranch. We're kind of limited on how big we can be because we only have so many acres, and we want to make sure we have a healthy herd. So I look that our herd will continue to be healthier and healthier. Kind of like in nature, the less healthy animals will become food, and the stronger animals will survive, and thus we'll have a stronger and stronger herd. And we have options for people to come out and learn about bison. So I hope that we'll be able to offer more tours, more ways for people to come and connect with bison.
Mm-hmm. Well, bison
and
are
learn
national...
about bison.
Yes, that's wonderful. Bison are our national mammal, right? I mean, we should.
Yes.
We should be paying a lot of attention to bison. Thank you so much for, you know, caring about bison and nurturing bison and preserving bison and giving them a safe space to be and a place to grow. I love learning from you about bison, so I'll ask you, is there anything you want us to know about bison that we don't already know, that you haven't already had a chance to share?
Goodness. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
Do bison have personalities? Can you tell like individual? They do. Like what?
Yeah. So we have one. Her name's Hootie, and she's very motivated by food. Like me. So it's just her. Like, so we feed a supplement that kind of gives them a little extra energy and some extra vitamins and things like that. It's like a probiotic. So it's in a white bag. And so when Hootie sees that white bag, and it doesn't matter if it's a white bag full of the stuff that she's used to eating or if it's just a random white bag, she'll make a beeline. She like pushes everybody out of the way and just runs to the fence. Like, I see that you've got that corner post treat, and I'm going to be first in line. So she's kind of bossy and kind of, she's a leader. So I love that. And then Kahuna, which is our big breeding bull, he's got a great mane. Like, he's got this big floppy hairdo and he's huge and he loves to play with the hay bales. And so it's pretty wasteful, but occasionally we have a need to set out multiple bales of hay at one time. And I love to watch him toss around those hay bales. You know, these bison are so powerful. You know, these 800-pound round bales, he can toss it around like it's us kicking a soccer ball or something. And so I know it's, like, horribly wasteful of the hay, but he loves to toss those around, and I love to watch it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, everybody likes babies, baby animals, right? So can you tell us a little bit about bison babies? Have you had any calves or bison babies recently on your ranch?
Yes. So the last one we had was in July. Mm. So like I mentioned earlier, babies are typically born in April and May, but he was a little bit of a late one. And he's adorable. So my favorite bison calf that I ever had was, her name was Peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a bottle baby. So she was born with a mouth condition called parrot mouth. And basically she had a giant overbite. So her top jaw was much longer than her bottom jaw. And so she couldn't nurse from her mom. Well, typically I'm not able to get very close to the calves because moms are very protective and they would have no qualms about teaching me how close I should not get to their, their babies. So this calf was kind of left out in the pasture and I was like, oh my goodness, you know, what's going on? And so I snuck out there and I could tell that it was just born because her little feet were still white from, you know, soaking in the amniotic fluid. It takes a minute for their feet to dry out. So I walked out there and she just kind of looked up at me and the mom had cleaned her off and everything. And I thought, now why did that mom leave this baby? And I thought, well, maybe it's because she's a first time mom or something like that. So I scooped her up out of the pasture and I brought her up and I called my husband and I'm like, you need to stop and get some milk replacer because we've got a baby that's been abandoned. And so I didn't notice the mouth at that time because I was more focused on why did this baby get left behind and who's its mom? And, you know, we need to get some food in it because if you don't get colostrum in them right off the get-go, then they eventually will die. You know, they aren't very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started feeding her a bottle and I tried to reconnect her with her mom. And then I was like, this baby's face looks funny. So I started looking at the other calves and, you know, their lips were kind of lined up. And then I noticed that she had a severe overbite. And so it's like, well, that's why she couldn't get latched onto the mom because her mouth was not formed right. So I became a bison mom. And she imprinted on me. And she was a lot of fun. She was kind of loose in the yard like a dog. She would follow us around the whole farm. Like we would take the dogs for a walk and she came right along with us, bison or herd animals. So they follow their fellow herd mates. And well, my husband and I were her herd. And so she would follow us anywhere.
Aww.
And it was so much fun. And I loved having her. But she was, in addition to her parrot mouth, she also had a really bad heart murmur. So she only lived to about 3 years of age and she passed away this January, but that was such a great experience because, you know, I thought I knew a lot about bison, but there were certain things that I didn't know, like that when bison are born, they're red. And then by August, they've turned brown. It's like, well, how do they turn brown?
Right.
Well, I found out it's because they shed that red hair and the moms are constantly licking them. And so you're not seeing red fluff all around the pasture because the moms are basically licking it. And it goes down in their digestive tract. So I was like, well, I figured out how bison turn red. Or turn brown after being born red. So just being able to touch and feel a bison was pretty magical.
Sure. Oh, yes. Oh, that is. And there's the next part of the movie.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, this is wonderful. I wonder, too, about bison families. Do bison have strong family ties?
They do. Hmm. So in 2017, we bought another herd. And so we keep very good records about our herd, like, you know, who has who and whose mom's who and that kind of thing. And that allows us to make sure, you know, like to give medications or whatever, that we have a good record of that. And so we bought out a herd of bison from a farm about an hour south of us. And well, I didn't keep records or anything. And so we had no idea, like, who belonged to who, like, who was related to who. that kind of thing. Well, that following spring, when they started having babies, Bison liked to live in a family group. And so the moms will hang out with each other, like, so say a mom and then her daughter and then her granddaughters. They like, when calving season comes around, they all like kind of start hanging out together. It's a really weird phenomenon that I've noticed over the years. By this time of year, they're all kind of scattered and hang out with whoever. But in the spring, when the babies are here, they all just kind of hang with their little family groups, like moms, daughters, and granddaughters, and so on and so forth, all kind of hang together. It's like the moms are giving calf advice to their offspring. I'm sure it's not really like that, but that's in my mind. That's what's going on out there.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, so we were able to figure out like which animals, like, you know, who was related to who just by observing them.
That's beautiful, actually. That is wonderful. I love hearing these great stories about them, you know, so often. And I think we do need to, we love them. We're big fans of bison, and they're wonderful to watch. I mean, I would come every day if I could and watch them. They're wonderful. But, you know, we see lots of stories, especially throughout Native America, where tourists somehow end up getting tossed by the bison. In Cherokee, they bother the elk, you know. So, you know, it's never actually residents of the boundary. It's always people who come and, oh, I'm going to take a selfie with this animal. And so are there any safety tips we should know or wisdom we should know if people decide to go see bison or they happen to be in a place where there are bison? What do they need to know to stay safe?
So give them a lot of space, because if they feel threatened, they're going to attack. So, and usually, like in the springtime, the moms are super protective of those babies. And so if you see a mom and a calf, do not try to get close to that calf, because that mom will tear you apart, basically. She's gonna protect her baby from you. You know, they say, I can't remember exactly how far at Yellowstone they tell you to stay away, but, you know, bison can run 40 miles an hour. So if you can't run 40 miles an hour, stay far enough away that you're not going to make them feel you're not going to make them feel threatened and want to chase you. And I mentioned, like, the big kahuna likes to toss around hay bales. So those hay bales weigh 800 pounds. So he's going to toss a person like we're nothing. Mm-hmm. So, don't pet the fluffy cows is the saying.
Right.
But, you know, they're wild animals and they're prey animals. And so they're going to react if they feel threatened. And so don't make a bison feel threatened. Don't get close enough to where they feel threatened.
That's great wisdom, great advice. Now, are bison afraid of anything? I think we think about them the thunder on the plains, and we think about them standing strong in the snow or all. But do bison have any enemies? Is there anything that they fear?
Well, you know, something that might try to eat them is something they're going to be afraid of. Now, in our part of the country, there really isn't too much that they need to be afraid of. The only time I've ever seen them show fear is when we had a helicopter fly over, and they were spraying the field next door, but they made big loops around our farm. And I feel like they were probably trying to taunt our bison, and that got them kind of worked up. So, you know, they don't see very well over their head. So anything overhead like that kind of puts them into a tizzy. And so that's the only thing I've seen them be afraid of. They'll stand out in a thunderstorm and it doesn't faze them one bit. Loud noises doesn't really bother them. So basically just like overhead things. Now, if we had bears and stuff around, they might be a little bit more nervous, but we live in a relatively predator-free area. We have coyotes, but coyotes aren't big enough to take down a bison. So, but yeah, so overhead threats are scary to bison. But other than that, they're pretty, I mean, they're huge. So they don't have a lot to be afraid of.
That's marvelous. We actually have bears here. So I'm thinking, wow, I mean, it's amazing to learn so much about these majestic animals and your life with them. And
I hope you write a book. I hope you make a movie. I hope you write a children's book or something, because there's so many wonderful things that are in your spirit and all of that. I really love what you're doing and the life you have. And when you think about bison, what have you learned about yourself by being a bison? I don't know how you describe yourself. I'd love to know that. Are you a bison rancher? Are you a bison farmer? I don't know. How do you describe yourself?
I'm a bison rancher.
I love it.
And so I've learned that I'm pretty darn resilient as well.
Mm.
You know, you kind of have to be, you have to be smart. We joke around all the time, you know, there was that show years ago, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? It's like, are you smarter than a bison?
Yeah.
Because they're pretty smart.
I didn't know that.
So, you know, yeah. They're observant. They watch what you're doing. They're curious. They're nosy. So, like, sometimes, so when we have multiple pastures that we move them, and so, one of our pastures is a little bit tricky, so we like to be to the gate before we can move them. So they watch, like they hear the door open or something like that, and they just keep their eye on us. And so they're watching, and like you have to be sneaky to be able to outsmart them and get down to the gate before they see you. So yeah, are we smarter than a bison? Some days, yes, I am, and some days I'm not.
That's wonderful. I love it. I love that. That's beautiful. You know, one of the things I've always wondered, too, is how do you get them to do anything, right? Like, if you wanted, I wondered about that. Like, how, I mean, they're such a big animal, you can't really move them, you know, entice them. Or you
right.
Know, so, you know, you do have to solve problems and things. So how do you get them to do things, like if you want them to do something?
So you can get a bison to do anything it wants to.
Okay.
You have to make it want to do it. And usually that involves food. They love to run through an open gate. And so if we want to move them, we jingle the chain on the gate. So that's kind of like one of the things that we've trained them to over the years, is to jingle the chain, and they hear the chain jingle and boom, they know it's time to go to a new pasture. And so they get rewarded because they get to go through the open gate and they get fresh grass to eat. Or they get a new hay bale to eat, or like when it's time to like load one out, or like this coming weekend, actually, we're doing our roundup. And what that means is the veterinarian's going to come out and he's going to give them ear tags, and he's going to give them some dewormer and any vaccinations that he feels are necessary. And we're doing a study on minerals in bison, and so they're going to pull some blood samples. Or some research.
Mm.
And so to do that, we'll use, we have a treat that they like. And so we'll bring out the treat, and that will entice them to come up into the corral. And so that's how we try to do all of the handling and with the bison, is through enticement rather than pushing. Like people always want to know if we're out there with cattle dogs and things like that. It's like, nope, we just kind of motivate them with food, and they come running, and then that's how we get them to do what we want. Is with treats.
Oh,
kind of like dogs.
I love it. Kind of like having toddlers.
You know, exactly.
Oh, I love it. That's wonderful. Well, as we close this terrific conversation, please tell us again how people can meet these bison, perhaps have some of your bison, connect with you on social media, all the things.
Okay. So we have a social media account, Cherokee Valley Bison Ranch on Facebook. And then we have a website that you can check out, CherokeeValleyBisonRanch.com. You can come visit our farm. We're open just about every Saturday from 11 to 3. So you can come and purchase meat here at the farm and meet the herd and hear me tell my story over and over again.
I love it.
And if you want to purchase our meat but don't have time to get out to the farm, we sell at several different locations, Whitaker's Farm Market in Fredericktown, Ohio, City of Oaks Farm Shop in Columbus, Ohio, Brandstuhl Orchard in Utica, Ohio, Athens, Ohio, Kindred Market, and on the menu at Strong & Co. in Somerset, Ohio.
Perfect. Well, I have truly enjoyed every minute of this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It was great chatting with you.
And thank you for your hospitality and the fun we had at your ranch.
Well, come see me anytime you're in the area.
Awesome. Thank you all for joining us today. This was just a wonderful conversation. I can't wait until we're all together again for another conversation with Don Karima. I'll see you then.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.